Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Anybody who could go down 300 to 3,000 feet in the mine sure and hell can learn how to program as well.
I don't see the connection there.
Give me a break. Anybody who can throw coal into a furnace can learn how to program, for God's sake.
You first.
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania and who come up after 12 hours and play football for 4 hours.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I fired one round. The subject went down.
It comes 2 years after 26 people were killed at First Baptist Church. Soon after, members here started their own security team, a controversial concept.
Do you know how delusional you sound?
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here.
When she decided to do this, we said, you know, quite clearly that we would not support it. Obviously, we thought it was a bad idea. And she stopped talking, she stopped eating, and all these things. She stopped going to school. Now she's happy. She dances around, she laughs a lot, we have a lot of fun.
You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. All you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
That don't look like happiness, honey.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I could deal with losing an election, but I will never sit around trying to think, oh, I got to keep you from voting because you might vote against me. If I can't win an election on my ideas, then I should get the hell out of politics.
Well, we're waiting.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Grace and Taylor filling in for Howie Carr. He'll be back after the new year on Thursday, or Thursday as he says. And right now, it's time for some news with Grace. Grace's news.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year's Eve. One of the best holidays around, in my opinion, is New Year's. It is right up there with Halloween and Valentine's
Day.
Is that
in your news that New Year's Eve has been named a federal holiday?
It's one of the more meaningful of the holidays is what's in my news. That's the headline.
We'll save that for later.
What I wanted to talk about, well, first of all, Taylor, as I always say, fabulous introduction. I remember cutting them back in the day. It's tough work. You always manage to make
it
brilliant. And what stuck out for me from that introduction was the Greta clips. Her dad gave that interview where he said she was depressed, and, you know, she was depressed because the world was, in her view, ending, which is a whole nother issue. But it makes me think, and I want to know if you agree with me. I think we need to stop on both sides using children as political, what's the word I'm looking for? Political fuel?
Icons? Fuel, I guess.
Caricatures. So. It's just, it puts the other side in a losing position because you can't criticize them, as we saw when Trump tried to criticize Greta, which he probably shouldn't have done. You're making fun of a kid. But then at the same time, what they're saying a lot of times is flawed. And I'll give you a perfect example of the other side that I don't think is right either. There's this little girl on Twitter. She's does an AOC impersonation, her mom or dad.
Mini AOC.
They film it, they put it on Twitter. People send it to me sometimes. I don't find that funny either because I'm like, she's a little kid. She shouldn't be making political satire. She's a young girl.
Yeah, I see some videos on there every now and then, you know, people post it on Facebook or whatever, and it's their kid acting like an adult, and they're giving this adult line, and they're giving adult sass, and it's, I don't find that funny. Kids should be kids.
Exactly. And I don't want them to pretend to be anybody. I mean, pretend to be a princess or a knight or whatever you do, but you don't need to pretend to be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I don't think that's helping our base at all. And I don't think having Greta go out on these sails around the world is helping her at all either. It seems really unfair that now she's the voice of all of these people. It's a lot of pressure. She has gotten a lot of bad press from it, as much as she's gotten praise. And I just think I don't want to say it's a form of child abuse, but it's definitely close. When you put all of your hopes and dreams into your little kid, and by having them fuel this idea that the world is going to end, it seems kind of sick to me.
especially when you couple in the fact that she is dealing with a syndrome.
Yes.
I think the parents should have been, I'm not a parent, I really cannot come from a parent standpoint to criticize, but I would imagine that if I were a parent and my child had Asperger's or Asperger's, as I've heard it pronounced both ways, I'd be a lot more hesitant to put my child onto the world stage and say, speak away.
Yeah, and obviously you can do anything you want, but when I hear that she was so depressed as a kid about climate change, that to me says there's some. This is a bigger problem. Because it's fine to care about something when you're little, but you should not be depressed about global warming. It just seems like you're not having a childhood at all.
What I gathered from the interview was that this 12-year-old, I believe she was, when she found out about this in school, threw a long-term temper tantrum, and her parents gave in. That's what I heard. I heard somebody that a child that refused to eat or talk to their parents or to anybody until they got their way. Again, Asperger's, it can inhibit some of those normal functions. I've known people with the ailment, and it can be tough for them to relate their feelings. But for months on end, and for the parents to give in to something like that, again, I'm not a parent. I cannot speak from that standpoint, that vantage point. But it seemed a lot to me like they gave in and bent to their child's will and wanted to be their child's friend and not their parent.
And another thing that I will say, because I do think that my point is, it's both sides. I don't think if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you should be using your kid to get your political message across. And I think kids should be off limits. I think kids should be kids. And to that point, Chelsea Clinton is someone who I completely disagree with politically, but she's a great proponent of leave kids out of it. And when people make fun of Barron Trump, she gets right on her Twitter and she says, leave him alone. He's a boy. Mm-hmm. He does not deserve to be made fodder for political purposes.
Nope.
And she knows because she lived that too. It's like, let the kids be the kids. The adults are, you know, crazy enough anyway. So leave them out of it.
But we get into this catch-22, though, where we have a child, she's 16 now, who has decided to throw themselves into the public light to make these statements directed at world leaders on a very public stage.
Yeah.
She's subjected herself, knowing full well what she's getting into. I think there's room for some criticism there. Certainly not on the level that Trump has gone after her with. She needs to chill out and go to a movie with friends. Kind of funny, but again, below the belt, as far as a president is concerned.
How dare you? I'm sorry. Ooh, Matt with the double how dare you.
I am so sorry, Greta.
That was like a remix. How dare you? How dare you? Okay, now moving on.
Okay.
In happier news, Bezos, Jeff, to you, Taylor, is retaining his crown as the world's richest person in 2019, despite losing $38 billion in his divorce from his now ex-wife.
Is his ex-wife the second richest person?
No, the second richest person is still Bill Gates. And he's actually, the impressive thing is, Bezos is really one of the only people on the list of these richest people to have lost money. And he's still number one richest. You can't beat Amazon.
It is scary. I see all the Amazon trucks out there. Everything's Amazon. They've got these robots in your houses that are listening to everything you say. I'm one of those. I will not have...
I'm shocked that Taylor is one of those people who thinks that Amazon is getting too big to fail.
I don't have a Google Dot. Is it Google Dot?
Oh, you know what this Amazon just reminded me of? You're the one who hates the supermarket robots.
Yeah.
With the googly eyes.
Marty, I cannot stand. I want to tackle Marty every time I see him roaming the aisles of Stop and Shop.
You would be on Police Blotter Facts Friday.
I would be proud to be on Police Blotter Facts Friday if I tackled Marty.
All right. In other news, actually, you know what? I'm going to save my Biden stuff for the next one, but I will say this has to do with Biden. Mayor Pete says he wouldn't want his son on Burisma's board. Do you see this, Taylor?
He doesn't have a son.
If he had a son.
He's not married to a woman.
Well, he could adopt.
He could adopt.
Yes. While speaking to the Associated Press on Monday, 2020 presidential candidate South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, which I always mess up. I can't get it.
You got to say it like Howie. Buttigieg
stated that he wouldn't have wanted his son to serve on the board of a Ukrainian energy company the way fellow 2020 Dem Biden's son Hunter did, but that there hasn't been any wrongdoing. This is what drives me crazy. He said, I wouldn't have wanted to see that happen. And at the same time, again, I think this is being used to divert attention from what's really at stake in the impeachment process. There's been no allegation, let alone finding, of any kind of wrongdoing. End quote. I don't like that they keep repeating. It's like if they repeat it enough, it's true. Oh, there hasn't been any wrongdoing. Right. But has anyone really done a fair investigation into it? Because we tried to, and now President Trump tried to get to the bottom of this, and guess what's happening now? He's going to be impeached because Hunter Biden was making a bajillion dollars.
He has been impeached.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You're right, Grace. There has been no investigation. There has been no thorough look-see as to what Hunter and Joe are up to. If Joe is involved, who knows? But we want to call them before Senate trial, if it goes to that.
And can I just say, if this was reversed, and if Donald Trump Jr. had done this, if Trump had put him on the board of a company and he had, you know, been kicked out of the Navy for drugs and he was just totally not qualified to do any of that, and then Trump got impeached and got thrown out of office, I would honestly have to say at that point, you deserved it. That was a stupid thing to do. That is a conflict of interest. They keep saying, and this is something I hear a lot, the appearance, even the appearance of a conflict of interest. No, it's not the appearance of it. It is a conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the definition of a conflict of interest.
And here's what's ironic. You have Joe Biden, who just yesterday somehow saw the relevancy, the correlation between coal miners and computer programs, computer programmers, but he cannot see the relevancy of him sitting in a Senate trial as a witness talking about his son's involvement with Burisma. He can't grasp why that would be relevant.
He can't, as Maxine Waters would say, he can't connect the dots.
Right. That's the whole reason why they want the call investigated, why they wanted to impeach Trump, because Trump wanted a favor to the American people on behalf of Ukraine as to what Joe and Hunter may or may not have been up to during Hunter's time with Burisma.
Oh, and by the way, guys, I agree with you there, Taylor. It's a great day to get on the Trump line, 844-500-4242. Brandon is giving me the bat signal that he needs funny, pithy, short messages.
We've given you a ton of material to work with today. It should be a great Trump line.
If anything, you could just make jokes about Taylor.
That's right.
Anyway, guys, on the other side, I've got tons more news, including an interesting story about newlyweds in Florida. I want to get Taylor's take because you always have such an interesting...
No, it's not.
It's
just old.
You know, yeah, I guess that's what... I want the old person take, and then I'll give you the young person take. Grace and Taylor filling in for Howie. We'll be right back. This is the Howie Carr Show.
He's the guru of graft. It's Howie Carr.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I am not Howie Carr. I am Grace Curley, and I'm with Taylor Cormier. We are filling in for Howie. Matt is on the board. Brandon is cutting up the chumps right now. But before we get back to Grace's news, we have to do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the all-new three-row 2019 Subaru Ascent, featuring symmetrical all-wheel drive. Love is now bigger than ever. Matt, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Who is the most overrated Democrat?
So the reason we have this poll question is because President Trump said Nancy Pelosi is the most overrated person he knows, which made me think, who's really the most overrated Democrat?
Like he said, what's her name? Most overrated actress.
Oh, Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, he likes that word, overrated. Yeah. It is a good word. I'm going to stay with my pick of AOC. Taylor?
Yeah, I'm sticking with that too.
It's Barack Obama so far with 53%.
When you think about how much wealth he has amassed for a very little...
And how much he's revered with zero legacy around.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair.
It definitely is fair.
But
Nancy Pelosi's
anymore.
Overrated, but she also, she'll tell you herself, she's a master legislator.
Right.
Okay, so here's a story I wanted to get Taylor's take on. Florida newlyweds use coin toss to decide on last name. So Jeff Conley and Darcy Ward married earlier this month. They had to decide on an official last name. They decided to flip a coin. One side of the coin had Ward. One side of the coin had Connolly. They flipped it and figured out
what are their names?
Jeff and Darcy.
Jeff Ward.
Jeff Connolly.
It's Jeff Connolly. Jeff Ward. Darcy Ward. Jeff Connolly. Darcy Connolly. Got to be Connolly.
You got to go with Connolly.
It's got the ring to it.
Well, the coin landed on Ward.
Ah.
So this is how nice this guy is. He said, "You could say I won," Jeff told the Post. I'm the one who's receiving something new.
Oh, my God.
Husband of the year.
Cue Obi-Wan Kenobi saying, "I felt a great disturbance in the Force, as if a million voices cried out in terror and suddenly went silent." That was that man's manhood.
I take it you and your wife did not flip a coin?
You got that right, Grace. Call me a misogynist, but I said, no, there's no way this is happening, and you're not taking my name. You've had your name for a while. This is how it goes.
You've had your name for a while.
I'm going to end
Can't
up on
argue
hate
with
mail.
That.
Hate Mail Monday next week is going to be lit.
Your New Year's Eve's about to be lit if you keep it up, brother.
Oh, I'm already in trouble for nothing that was said on the show today.
I have to say, maybe I'm old school. I like the idea of taking the guy's last name, but I mean, it doesn't seem like they did this really to make a statement as much as they wanted to be fair. They said it was all about fairness. They did end up, you know, headlining a news story, so maybe it was to make more of a statement.
So my wife had a fair point. If she had graduated with her degree before we got married, her name would be her last name on her degree, her original last name. But she wouldn't want to change her name and still have that degree, have that name, because it'd be hanging on the wall in her office. She's in the medical field. So luckily, we got married before she graduated. I didn't plan it that way, but it would have been a problem.
It was a rush to the altar.
Let's go. Come on.
She's a Cormier.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think if you have work stuff and you've built a little bit of a career behind
your name,
it makes sense to keep it. But if it's not really contributing like anything big, then you can change it. It's nice. It's a nice way to become one, some might say. In other news, Biden claims he'd consider a Republican running mate. Maybe Joe will flip a coin, Democrat or Republican for VP. He says the Republican would have to be simpatico with him. And
So Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Or Jeff Flake.
I say that as a joke, but I would not be surprised.
But you know what's funny is Jeff Flake, he has an incredible record of voting conservative. So no one is simpatico with Joe Biden on the Republican side. Not even the rhinos.
I wouldn't put it past Joe to pick Mitt or Jeff. Back after this.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. Howie is in sunny Florida, but we are still here holding down the fort on this beautiful, I think it might be raining outside, but on this lovely New Year's Eve. I'm Grace Curley filling in. Taylor is with me, and we're going to talk right now about impeachment. We took a little break from it. Mostly because we don't know what's going on with it, really. Nancy Pelosi has still not sent over the articles. It's clearly become a bit of a game. I know that's going to shock people. Don't let that make you lose faith in the integrity of the Democrat playbook. But it seems like they've got nothing left. And all I could think about, Taylor, when this was going down was, Nancy Pelosi must be ready to lose it on AOC. Because when you really think about who represents the progressives and this whole generation of people who want what they want now. They're like all like the girl in a Willy Wonka. I want it now.
Veruca Salt.
They want impeachment. They want Trump out. They want this. They want that. And they don't care about the logic. They don't care about that people are, that Democrats are not going to get reelected in their districts. They don't care. They want what they want. Nancy Pelosi told them time and again, whether it was direct or in interviews, this is not a good idea. This is divisive. This is not going to work. This is going to sink us in the polls. She's seen impeachment play out like this before, and she still had to do what they said because they're the party now. They're running the party. They're the figureheads of the Democrats, and everyone has to listen to AOC. And if I were Nancy Pelosi and I got wind of one more thing from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I would pull her aside and I would say, this is all your fault from the beginning. This is, we had to do this because of you and your squad. Everyone needed this. Representative Al Green, everyone needed him impeached, and look what it's doing. They have nothing now.
Oh, I would absolutely revoke any chair she holds on any committees. Look how many people are talking impeachment today in a positive light. How many people are cheering that Trump has been impeached? I don't see anybody talk. No networks. They're blind to it. It happened, and that was it.
Right.
There's nothing going on. It fell flat on its face. There's no there. It's a dud.
And it's worse than, you know, you're not going to do what I say and you're going to vote down impeachment in the Senate. Now it's like I'm taking my ball and going home. I'm not even going to send it over because I'm afraid it's not going to go the way I want. And the truth is that she wants them to do an investigation now in the Senate when that was all supposed to happen in the House. That was what all of those hearings were for, was to, you know, bring up your witnesses. We'll get to the bottom. Like they love to say that we'll get to the bottom of whatever happened with the Ukraine. And it was bad. It didn't work. And so now it's Mitch McConnell's job to do all your work. I don't think so.
Oh, that was the thing, too. When they sent it over, they wanted a list of who's going to be a witness so they can ensure they have a fair trial. And they wanted to add other people. They wanted to add other parts of this investigation. Mitch McConnell said, no, that was your job in the House. You were supposed to do all that. You're not going to send this over half done and expect us to fill in the blanks for you. You send it over. It's like if you do your homework and you pass it in and you say, teach, hey, I only did half the questions. I want you to fill in the blanks for me because I didn't know these. No, that's not how it works.
Right.
F.
They're getting an F for sure because this is shoddy workmanship. And I just want to say that Tulsi Gabbard actually tweeted out she was the only Democrat who voted present and wouldn't vote yes to impeach. And then she warned them. And now she said this in a tweet. In 2020, we will have a new president in the White House. How many of you do not want that to be Donald Trump? I certainly don't. Unfortunately, the House impeachment of the president has greatly increased the likelihood Trump will remain the president for the next 5 years. She says that it's energized, it's re-energized his base, and it's just gotten people more ready to vote in 2020.
Every step they take has ensured a Trump 2020 victory. Impeachment. Anytime one of these Democrats opens their mouths on the campaign trail, that photo of everybody raising their hand when asked the question, will your health care plan ensure free health care for illegal immigrants? That hand went up. All those hands were representative of hundreds of thousands of votes for Trump, millions of votes for Trump.
Right.
I think I'm going to say it. He's going to get more votes than last time.
Well, this is what Tulsi had to say. I think impeachment, unfortunately, will only further embolden Donald Trump, increase his support, and the likelihood that he'll have a better shot at getting elected, while also seeing the likelihood that the House will lose a lot of seats to Republicans. So I think Tulsi, yet again, is the only one in that entire party who has any idea of what's actually going on, or at least is brave enough to say it. Which we can double down on the fact that she's going to go nowhere with the Democrats because they do not like that kind of talk.
The man politically is wearing a bulletproof vest. He can take shots and they have all of their sights trained on him. But when it comes down to it, he gets right back up uninjured.
Yeah. And I just, I've said this before, but a lot of people thought, you know, they want to impeach him so they can say it in all of their ads leading up to 2020. They want to be able to say, impeached President Trump. Impeached, he's impeached, he's impeached.
But that just, again, that highlights, and I'm sorry to cut you off, Grace, that cuts off how ineffective they were.
Right. No, and I agree with you, Taylor, because I think in their minds it was going to be this verbiage that was going to propel them into 2020. We impeached the president. And I looked at someone the other day and I said, I don't know if they're going to want people to remember that they did this as much as they thought they wanted people to.
Right.
I think if you're watching this and you see impeached, you think, oh, yeah, remember that disaster that Nancy Pelosi was at the head of?
You're going to get a bunch of people staring at their TVs, people about our age and a bit younger, saying, impeached. But he's still there.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you do? That didn't do anything.
Right.
It made everything worse.
It really did. It emboldened his supporters. And the biggest complaint from Republicans, there's been a few, but one of the most true complaints is that this has been their goal all along. Since Inauguration Day, when that article went up, I think it was in the Washington Post, saying, you know, Democrats have already started, you know, trying
17 minutes or 19 minutes after the inauguration.
Something absolutely insane. So the point has always been, listen, you guys have been planning this from the beginning. You never gave him a fair shot. And one person who has really cemented that is true is Representative Al Green, how he always likes to say, not the singer Al Green, the Representative Al Green.
I'm so in love with impeachment.
Ooh.
Whatever you wanna do.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's enough.
I'm more of a hype man than I am a singer, as people have probably figured out. So Representative Al Green made the mistake a few months ago of saying we need to impeach Trump because if we don't, he could win again. And he's doubling down. He was on with Chris Hayes from MSNBC, and he said, and Chris Hayes was trying to give him an opportunity to say, these crazy Republicans, Representative Green, they are under the impression that you are biased and that you guys have been trying to do this from the beginning. And what Al Green basically said was, yep, that's accurate. So let's play, Matt, let's play Cut 20, please.
The argument goes like this of House Republicans and Trump and his allies, the president and his allies, is basically the Democrats wanted to impeach Donald Trump from day one. They cast about looking for a set of facts that they could plausibly use to do it. And all of it was pretextual and reverse engineered to get to this point. Exhibit one, Congressman Al Green, who's been calling for the man's impeachment for 2 years now. What's your response to that charge?
Well, the genesis of impeachment, to be very candid with you, was when the president was running for office and he had members of his own party to talk about his unfitness to hold office. The persons who were running against him, Mr. Romney, spoke of his not being fit to hold office.
You can cut it there, Matt. He just answered what we've all been saying, is that the genesis of this is that you don't like Trump and, mm-hmm. and you don't think that he's a good president. That is not high crimes. That is you not liking the president. Guess what? I didn't like Barack Obama. I didn't walk around saying, impeach 44.
And Nancy Pelosi's dentures slip up every now and then, too, when she says this impeachment process started 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And that, again, illustrates the point. They've been looking for something. They can stick to this guy. They heard rumors of Russia, so they tried to go with that. Didn't prove a thing, proved their own ineptitude and revealed the face of the deep state with Jim Comey, James Clapper, all these people. And again, fell flat with this. But they decided that they were going to go in lock, stock and barrel. And this is it. You know, strap the rocket to my back. We're going to the moon or bust. They busted.
They busted, and it's amazing how many people warned them. I mean, you had Newt Gingrich on. I know they don't watch Fox News, but he was on all the time saying, I did this. I know how it can backfire, and it will.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't listen. And it just goes to show you that it's a big problem, an inherent problem with the Democrats right now, is that they're so swayed by the loudest voices and not really the people who know what's going to happen. Like, you can say what you want about Nancy Pelosi, but I think politically she's a lot smarter than a lot of the young squad members. But that doesn't matter because they're loud. They have the Twitter followers, and what they want, they get. And honestly, I don't think they care if it's Nancy Pelosi who gets all the ramifications of this. They don't care if Nancy Pelosi doesn't get to come back as speaker. They don't care if, you know, a Democrat from a state where they might not get reelected. They don't care. It doesn't bother them. As long as they're on the front lines, you know, with their rallying cry saying, impeach him, we did it, whatever. That's all they care about. Impeach the bleeper, whatever they say. Mm-hmm. It's all about the show for them. It's not about the end results.
I also think that they see an older white woman in power, and just being a woman in power isn't enough for them. They want to see structural change, dare I say. But in the meantime, they've endorsed candidates that don't reflect what they want to see in leadership. The Squad has endorsed Bernie Sanders, right?
Yeah.
The oldest white guy running for president, millionaire.
Three homes.
Yeah. And just because he's been touting this socialist agenda for however many years, the guy's washed up. He just said it today or yesterday that I wouldn't be running an election if I had lost an election on my own ideas. He lost.
No, totally. You're right. They don't really practice what they preach, but it is scary. We always say, you know, revolutions eat their own. Eventually, people will come back and say, you know, you're not woke enough, you're not progressive enough, to the progressives who started the whole rebellion in the first place. And that's what's kind of happening with Nancy Pelosi and these older Democrats, is that they thought they were woke and hip and politically correct. And
there's new jargon every day. There's new baselines every day. $15 minimum wage is not going to be enough soon.
Right. And so they can't go left enough. And that's kind of what I find the beauty of AOC is, though, is because Trump, in a way, in a much better way for the country, did the same thing to Republicans. Because a lot of Republicans, a lot of rhinos, Jeff Flakes, Mitt Romney's, have been saying for so long, you know, we need to cut back on regulation. We need to, you know, stop illegal immigration. And they just said it. And then Trump came in and said, okay,
cracked the whip. Yeah.
You've been saying it for a long time. Let's do it. Like, what are you waiting for? And all of a sudden they didn't like him anymore because they thought, no, that's not how it works. We say we're going to do it, but we don't actually do it. AOC's done the same thing. She's like, listen, we want open borders. We want free healthcare. We want free tuition. Right, guys? And she's put them in a bind where people like Elizabeth Warren have to go, yeah, she's right. That's what we want.
Because that's the game that's been played in Washington for decades. It's tit for tat. It's we'll give you this if you give us that. But over the past few decades, it hasn't been going into the Republicans' favor. We've seen more, welfare states and policies being put in place in retribution, not retribution, but in exchange for maybe a sliver of a Republican-supported policy. Trump came in, he said, we're not doing that anymore. That's not how it's going to operate. We want to do things, we're not going to negotiate, and this is how it's going to be. And thankfully, it seems that a lot of the Republican Party has fallen in line, except for a few like Pierre Delecto,
who want to be praised by, you know, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, which is wonderful for them. When we get back, speaking of the Wall Street Journal, I have a great column here from Kimberly Strassel. She basically breaks down what the Democrats want with this impeachment's done, why it's so weak, and what Republicans should do to put an end to this farce. When we get back on the other side, we'll get to all of that. And later on, we got the Chump line coming up. So make sure you stay tuned. I'm Grace. Taylor's with me. Matt's on the board. We're filling in for Howie. This is the Howie Carr Show.
You can call him Fat Boy. Just don't call him late for dinner. It's Howie Carr.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Grace. Taylor is with me behind the mic. And we have Matt on the board. We are bringing you some impeachment news before the Trump line. So I talked about this article from Kimberly Strassel. As everyone knows, she's brilliant. She writes for the Wall Street Journal. And she wrote, Pelosi's rolling impeachment. I'm just going to read a few lines from this. Republicans dismissed Nancy Pelosi's refusal to transmit the impeachment articles to the Senate as a weak stunt. They do so at the peril of both the Constitution and President Trump. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell may be a master technician, but Mrs. Pelosi is no slouch. Now I'm skipping down here. Republicans err in thinking Mrs. Pelosi's goal is to craft a Senate trial to her liking, and even in presuming Mrs. Pelosi wants a trial at all, skipping down again, think of it as a rolling impeachment. Every day the Senate doesn't hold a trial, Mrs. Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are free to argue that the process is rigged. Skipping down, as long as the Senate doesn't hold a trial, Democrats have time to find yet more evidence that Mr. Trump is guilty of abusing his power. So basically what Kimberly Strassel is saying is that this isn't as much of a stunt as it is a smart move by Nancy Pelosi. She is doing this purposefully, and the Republicans are actually being weak for not putting a stop to it by just saying, oh yeah, do whatever, this is a stupid stunt. She's saying, no, this is harmful, and you guys should use your knowledge of the Constitution to put an end to this.
I tend to agree. It's you want to see a stop put to this. That's why we've been saying, as much as we'd love to see a full trial with witnesses, we want to see Joe and Hunter. We want to see other people up there on the witness stand. We just want it to be over with. We want it to be acquitted, because they want their ultimate goal is to have impeachment talk still hanging over Trump's head like a dark cloud in November of 2020.
You're absolutely right. It says, Mrs. Pelosi has understood from the start that the inevitable outcome was acquittal. There won't be 20 Republican votes to remove Mr. Trump from office. So why quicken the president's vindication if the goal of this exercise all along was to damage Mr. Trump's prospects for re-election? Why wouldn't Democrats want to hold an impeachment over his head for as long as politically possible? And I think she's absolutely right. Nancy Pelosi's been doing this a long time, and she's not going to do anything without some sort of plan. And the Republicans should have Trump's back a little bit more, because it is ridiculous.
I completely agree.
They should be able to put some sort of stop to it, or basically say, listen, time is ticking, Nance. We get back, we have the Chump line, Taylor's back in the hot seat, and we've got so much more, so don't turn that dial.